10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Did you look very carefully at that person that you're with on the beach in sunlight? Is that what you envisioned on your first date? And now, Dr. Dave Weather.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling.
A show is a show, as we all know, but there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard, you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Don Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow. It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling every damn night.
Let me tell you about something that I experienced that was terrifying. Now, when you're on the road like you were today, driving thousands and thousands of miles so that you could sit on a beach that hopefully wasn't overcrowded, but it was definitely a beach, and you got everything from it that you needed, which was namely to shut up your significant other because you didn't want to go to that beach. You had no interest in it. What did you and I want to do? We wanted to set the thermostat at 50. We wanted to sit on a sofa after pulling down all of the Venetian blinds, all of the curtains, and watching Nazi UFOs on the History Channel, study the history of Nazi UFOs, and then move on to a more advanced course, what's underneath the pyramids of Giza. That's what you and I want to do. And then every now and then we're going to be inconvenienced by having to go to the bathroom and possibly go to the refrigerator. But if we go to the refrigerator, we may have to be inconvenienced more often by going to the bathroom. I'm Walter Sterling. Let's review your weekend. When I make these long car rides, one of the things I want to do, but I'm rarely allowed to do, is pull off the road and explore. Explore those RR, those rural delivery, those RD, what do they call, rural R, whatever. Or in Texas, farm-to-market roads, which are labeled FM 103, which confused me for a long time. Why does FM 103 get their own sign on this road? Took me a long time to realize it means farm-to-market, to allow farmers to bring their goods from farm to table without having to deal with the interstate. That must have been some lobby point. But as I'm driving along these roads, there are roadside attractions that are never posted. They're never put on any of those signs. What's on the signs? Gas 23 miles, rest stop 18 miles. That's all. And then when you and I get to the rest stop at 18 miles, it's being renovated. Next rest stop, 28 miles. That's what always happens with the rest stops. And what do they have to do? Why would they have to renovate a rest stop? What's at a rest stop that we need? That's right. We don't need anything else. Therefore, there's no need for renovation unless they're using a latrine from World War II, which is really doubtful. Now, so every now and then I get to pull over and explore. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but whenever I do pull over and explore, either I find magic or I find something terrifying out of Deliverance. I'm hearing the theme from the movie Deliverance in the background. And there are a lot of people walking around with no shirts and delirious, staring into the distance, carrying a bottle of Jack Daniels. And I get out of there as fast as I can. It's like driving into downtown Newark in July. It's terrifying. Well, I pull into this one road and I go past the Dairy Queens and the Sheets and the Wawas and all of the standard fare of roadside attractions in America. And there, what is that? What do you see? What is that over there? Do you see that? Oh my God, it looks like the head of a dinosaur. It was like, what is that? And it looks like the head of, and whoa, there's another dinosaur. It looks like Jurassic Park gone very wrong. A paper mache Jurassic Park, but life size, as if we know how big they were. But that's okay. It's surrounded by train cars that look like they've been thrown into place by a Marvel comic character. Just brute force thrown at random points on a hillside. I'm like, what the hell is this? This looks amazing or terrifying or horrible. And I pull up, and I'm just mostly just staring at the dinosaurs. You pull up, you park next to the dinosaur. There's like one other car over there with Ohio plates and another car over there with Appalachia plates. And I'm like, this is the most... And there's an ice cream stand. Well, okay, I go up, I order ice cream, and I was shocked that it was staffed. It was February. It was 12 degrees out, and the ice cream was open. And I get, and I'm looking around, and it was the strangest roadside attraction I'd ever seen since I was like 9. The strangest one I did see was in Jersey. It was the Gingerbread Castle. Did you ever see the Gingerbread Castle? I bet you've seen places like it. It was a concrete castle painted pink. And that was supposed to be very intriguing, and it's still there. It's in Hamilton, New Jersey. But about this place, I came to learn that this roadside attraction was called Doolittle's, as in, you know, Dr. Doolittle and his strange menagerie of, of animals. And it was like 5 acres of bizarre papier-mâché life-size animals surrounded by actual abandoned rail cars, including Amtrak rail cars. There's an Amtrak dining car. And I'm like, well, those are pretty cool. And then it got even more strange. Every dining car represented a different restaurant. All their restaurants at Dr. Doolittle's was in dining cars. I'm looking for my glasses. It should be easy to find, but if you can't find your glasses, how do you find your glasses? It took me a while to figure out what it was. It was called Dr. Doolittle's Roadside Cafe and Creamery in Dubois, Pennsylvania. Dr. Doolittle's Roadside Cafe and Creamery, I-80, exit 97. And then you go on the scary road, which was U.S. Highway 219, 1 mile on the left. This place has been upgraded with the addition of 2 Ringling Brother train cars, a boxcar that has been transformed into a place called Boxcar Brewery. Now, there's a good idea to serve beer to people on the road. Excellent. They have a T-Rex, a Bigfoot, and the Amish. The Amish are gone. And now it seems to be a train dinosaur farm animal-themed restaurant. Let's just think about that. They've created a theme park, train dinosaur farm animal theme park with miniature golf, petting zoo, laser tag, ice cream stand, one-stop entertainment compound. But the thing is, and I want to know if you have places like this, it's not on anything. There's no sign that says Dr. Doolittle's on Route 80. You're not going to find it on the roadside signs. I lucked into it, saw it on no map, didn't see it on Google or Mr. Earth or whatever. But that's why I love road trips that give me the flexibility to get off the road and discover stuff. What did I find? I found Dr. Doolittle's Roadside Cafe about 2 years ago in the heart of February. And in the heart of February, there's hot dogs, hamburgers, different restaurants, miniature golf, but an ice cream parlor open in the middle of February. Have you found places like this when you're driving? You're driving right now, coming back from whatever place you didn't want to go to. My number is 855. It's live. We're live, ladies and gentlemen. It's a live radio show. There's nothing else live on the air now. That Bitcoin show is not live. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Name Lloyd Howell Jr. He's resigned as the leader of the NFL Players Association. Lloyd Howell had to resign because he was using union funds for a car service that took him to the airport and to a strip club. The documents are union-approved expenses, and the hours after Howell abruptly resigned late Thursday night. If a union leader cannot go to a jiggle joint, this ain't America anymore. America! Union leaders are not necessarily known as, shall we say, bright lights of the community. They have a background of being a little thuggery, right? Little connections to La Cosa Nostra. We know all about that, especially with the Teamsters. Howell was picked up in a sedan. The car service took our union head to Tootsie's Cabaret. The 76,000 square foot venue bills itself as the world's largest strip club. Full nude, number one rated. The employee flagged the receipt to the union's travel department for a higher level review after it said Tootsie's Cabaret. Tootsie's Cabaret needs to support their business leaders. That's why they should have a different name for the company. Let's say an LLC that says Tootsie's Dance Place or Tootsie's House of Beef. Or steak, just steak, or fish. I don't know. I don't know how you do it. But this feller has lost his job because of it. At the NFL Players Association Summit in February, Howell accompanied employees to the Magic City Strip Club for an outing that incurred $2,400 in charges, including cash withdrawals. That were used in VIP rooms. The strip club outing was referred to as player engagement event to support and grow our union. But grew something, all right. The union? That's a good question. From the champagne room, hanging out with the NFL. I'm Velo Ghoul. Strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night. Got a crowbar? No problem. Details later, the people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, and a sickness has entered the house, kid by kid by kid.
Via another kid who probably should have just stayed home.
Details coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I tell the story of how a Wisconsin nursing home patient got off on the wrong foot with his nurse. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling, and he's always right.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Salina and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Look at you in Hollywood. We have a correspondent in Hollywood because this is a network national show on big radio stations like KFBK in Sacramento. My God, Bill White right now is rolling over going, what? Why did I put this on? What? What was I thinking? And he's like, well, how could I tell Walter we're going to dump it? I can't tell Walter. He might have a big job again, and then he won't hire me. That's how they all think, you know. They all imagine that I'm going to go back to my previous life of being a well-suited, wingtip-shoed consultant, where I walk in a room, carry myself in a certain way. People think I know stuff. And then I put up slides on the PowerPoint. And the secret, Mateus, Boom Boom Hollywood, of an effective slide is 8 words. Never more than 8 words. But the true secret of being a consultant, hold on a sec. The true secret of being a consultant is that they expect you to rattle off percentages and numbers throughout your chat. I don't know any percentages or numbers, but I do know that if I say it's 83.1, they will write that down. If I say it's 84, they won't write that down. I have to say 83.1. I have to say 91.8. It has to be odd numbers with a decimal point. And then they think you're incredibly wise. Whenever you can, don't round it up or down. Round it to a decimal point. Make everything an odd a 0.1, a 0.3 is particularly good. 0.1, 0.3 is particularly good because they know you could have rounded it down, but you respected them and their need for knowledge. Does that make sense, Mateus?
Absolutely, and those are fine professional tips we should all carry into any negotiation, too. You know, why not try for that? Ask for just a point percentage just higher than what you want and see if they'll go for it because of that little fraction of an idea.
The other thing, this is true of veterinarians. This is true of all freelancers. When I decided how much to charge my services as a media consultant, somebody in charge of helping you increase your audience share, I based the fee on your conference room. Because think about it, a conference room is 100% discretionary space. You don't need a conference room. It's 100% discretionary space. And in most buildings, square footage is expensive. If you have a large conference room with expensive paneling and chairs, you can afford anything. The biggest risk that most consultants make, that most freelancers make, my friends, listen carefully. The biggest mistake they make is they underprice. And in a capitalistic society, value is determined not by the veneer, but by the price. The more expensive it is, the better it is. If it's not expensive enough, they think there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with her. Now, speaking of high price, did that Superman movie do anything this weekend? How did it do?
It did very well. Rather well. As a matter of fact, you know, its opening week was $125 million. Its budget was $225 million. It has now made, in the U.S. and Canada, $235 million. That's $10 million more than its cost in the first week. And globally, $406 million. I think it's flying pretty well, no matter the kryptonite, which seems to cripple him over so briefly in the narrative of the movie. It's certainly not crippling the box office.
Fortunately, I'm not steeped in Superman lore, so I can't get caught up in the finer points of the movie. I just had a great time. It was a great movie. You know, it was a great movie. A lot of things were moving very fast, and there was a dog. What could be wrong?
Right. Although I have to say that I was a little bit concerned when you were talking about Dr. Doodle's Cafe and Creamery, when you said and just went very quickly over it that they had a petting zoo. And I started to think, maybe the dinosaurs engineered this. They lure people with ice cream, get people to the petting zoo, and of course they're petting the dinosaurs, and then the dinosaurs have lunch on the spectators. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, what's in that petting zoo?
It's a very valid point. Now, let's see. There's a movie you're going to review. What's the movie you're going to review?
I know this sounds crazy. The movie Smurfs. You know, I'm a grown man, and I went to see the Smurfs movie, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I had trepidation. Let's face it. Yeah, but sometimes I go because I have to go to, you know, be authentic about my job. So I went to this movie expecting to be horrified and just think it's pablum for children. And I was amazed that it was thoroughly delightful. And I think one of the most entertaining movies I've seen this year. That's the story, of course, of Papa Smurf, who is voiced by none other than John Goodman, is stolen away, so they have to find her. And Rihanna, famous Rihanna, who we all know as one of the perhaps biggest singers today, estimated 250 million records sold. She's a fashion designer and entrepreneur. Anyway, she jumped on board. She sings a few numbers, and she is Smurfette in the movie. She's accompanied by James Corden, who I can either take or leave, but he plays No Name, a Smurf who, through the whole movie, tries to figure out what his purpose is in life. And they're off to find Papa Smurf. But it was just a very fun movie and some great voices. Nick Offerman, Amy Sedaris, throughout the picture, making us laugh with some pretty good stuff. Kurt Russell, I mentioned, of course, John Goodman. So there's some really familiar voices. There's a lot of stuff for adults that adults would find really funny. And the music, all of it was fun. So, you know, if you have kids, you too will enjoy this as well as the kids. I couldn't believe it. You know, the Smurfs came out in 1958. The artist Peugeot designed them then. And this director decided, Chris Miller's his name, to go back to their sort of original concept. There was a movie about a decade ago, which was not as good. But this was really, I couldn't believe it. So once in a while, I'm surprised.
When you first said the Smurf movie, I was thinking to the 80s and 90s when the Smurfs were a ghetto character that ran drugs. The drug dealers would hire high school kids and college kids, and they were attractive and cute, and nobody would stop them or suspect them, but they were running drugs, and they were called Smurfs.
Huh. Did not know that. That's fascinating.
It's
well,
good
these Smurfs
you didn't
are not
that.
Doing that. Yeah,
no, it's good. It's
these Smurfs are just
that,
running
really.
Humor and laughs for kids and adults, too.
Now, you did a special weekend. You did a revival of a theater in California. What was the name of that theater?
Well, I often put on a movie once a month at the Orinda Theater. That's
Orinda
coming up.
Theater.
I'm going to show the movie in a little hamlet called Orinda, which is 11 miles east of San Francisco and behind the Oakland Hills. Just on the other side of the hills from Oakland, it's like traveling between Watts and Switzerland. It's just a totally different
You've devoted years to helping that theater be revived and become beautiful and all of that stuff, right?
I have, and I really enjoy it. It's fun. People really appreciate it. They're seeing classic films or brand new films. So they're showing the Superman movie right now. And then I, once a month, go over there and I show a newsreel, a cartoon, a serial on a Tuesday afternoon, and then some classic movie, and I introduce the picture. So that's loads of fun at the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California.
How does somebody find that on the internet? Is there a website for that theater?
Sure, it's orindatheater.com. Theater spelled R-E rather than E-R, orindatheater.com.
There's
or
nobody.
You can find out whatever I'm doing at my place, too, you know. Matthias Bumbo, there, Hollywood.
Okay, well, hold on. Now, nobody 10 miles east of Orinda knows how to spell Orinda, so could you start by spelling that?
Absolutely. O-R-I-N-D-A. O-R-I-N-D-A. Orinda Theater, theatre.com for more information about the wonderful old Orinda Theater.
How do we find you on Facebook?
Matthias Bombal's Hollywood, which is M-A-T-I-A-S. Bombal is B-O-M-B-A-L, apostrophe S, Hollywood like the city. Matthias Bombal's Hollywood.
Congratulations for winning the spelling bee. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Got a crowbar? No problem. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, and a sickness has entered the house. Kid by kid by kid.
Via another kid who probably should have just stayed home.
Details coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I tell the story of how a Wisconsin nursing home patient got off on the wrong foot with his nurse, coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Walter M. Sterling with Selena of J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, down the shore. Congratulations. And Father Jim Drucker, a retired Catholic priest, Navy chaplain, Desert Storm, for 45 or more years at least, a priest, a real Catholic priest, reveals to us the secrets of the Catholic Church, all of the secrets of the Catholic Church. During the week, he hangs out as a greeter and an eater at J.B. Bakery. The reason I'm fascinated by J.B. Bakery is it's owned by two hot young people. Bakeries are usually owned by Chef Bardi. It's not a good thing. You try to get out of there as soon as you scam your free cookie, but there they are. Now, Selena is a pageant girl and a ballerina. In this heat, Selena, how do you practice? How do you practice ballet? Do you practice ballet in this heat?
Well, I have to practice ballet as a ballerina, and all dancers know that it's a constant push to be better and something you have to work on a little bit every day. I'm very thankful for air conditioning, although I do appreciate doing some ballet outside, but usually I have to do that in the morning. The heat is just a little too much here in New Jersey.
Do people see you practicing ballet in the morning in New Jersey?
I'm sure if they walk by, they could, but I try to be outside when I won't run into anybody else in good Midnight Misfit fashion.
Don't you find it potentially embarrassing? What if somebody from high school passed you by and saw you in point?
Well, I think that they would just have to be impressed by the skill that I have. And if somebody from high school walked by, I would be more curious about them and less about what they think about me, I think.
At this time of year, women are challenged to go to the water, to go to the beach in the heat, to keep their makeup in place. Do you have any tips as a pageant girl on how to deal with makeup in this heat?
Well, I like to try to wear a little bit of makeup in this heat, try not to do too many layers. In the winter, it's a lot easier to put on more layers than in the summer, and have a good setting spray and powder on hand.
And Father Drucker, do you have any makeup issues as a Catholic priest at this time of year, Father Drucker?
No, none whatsoever. Thank God. No, none whatsoever.
Do you wear the black robe in this heat?
Well, I don't wear a robe. I don't wear a cassock, but I do wear my collar shirts, and for sure. I'm a priest, 46 years. So I'm proud of that. And a lot of people come up to me for help, and I'm grateful to God that I can offer whatever prayers and love I can extend.
Yeah, but you're not offering any love if you're uncomfortable with the heat.
Well, you know, heat's not good for someone older and with medical issues, but every day, every second truly is a gift and a blessing from Almighty God. Absolutely.
You minister in VA hospitals. Do you find the VA hospitals today are operating better now than they were a year ago or about the same?
Well, compared to 1 year ago, I would compare it to years ago. It's a sensational hospital system. And I got thinking one day, Walter, and I share with your audience, that I wonder what country in the world, and I'm sure every country takes care of their veterans, I had no doubt of that, but what country in the world has a dedicated medical system for veterans only, except America?
Other countries don't need it because they don't need to help out the veterans because everybody's taken care of equally.
Well, I'm not going to argue the issue, but I think there are many countries that have a strong military presence. And
yes,
I'm boasting in a good way that the system is a good system. I know many doctors.
It's a great system.
I've worked in.
Yeah, it's a great system. But the fact is, for example, like in Ukraine, they could help out those soldiers, but there are no hospitals left anymore. All those hospitals have been leveled. Father Drucker, do you have any advice on how to deal with going home from the beach in the car for hours tonight, live across the country? You're stuck in the car with your wife and the kids, or your husband and the kids. Any tips on staying calm for these long car rides, driving home from a long weekend?
My tip is a spiritual one, and I remember many years ago, Father Leo Garrity, when I didn't have a rosary beads with me, and he said, Jim, that was Jim then, he said, Jim, you got 10 fingers. So I offer to all of your audience, wherever they are, to simply say 10 Hail Marys and an Our Father five times and make that a full rosary of five decades. And if you're not Catholic, just simply place your hands in God and thank God for the air conditioning that's blowing around your wonderful head and body, keeping you cool because of a gentleman named Mr. Carrier.
All right, that's Jim Drucker, Father Jim Drucker, and Selena Ballerina from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Thank you both very much for being on Sterling every damn night, every damn Sunday. You can hear me every night. Do you realize that? I know Rebecca Canner, Rosemary Furlong, you can hear me every night. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app. I'm on every damn night. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Why does every cell phone call end with, hello, hello?
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz, who proved a little too big for the room in the radio biz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great, but his bosses were all idiots, and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew.
With Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories and all the rest. Here on Sterling every damn night. Here on Sterling every damn night.
There are several good places in your home where an extension telephone would be a great convenience and comfort for you and your family. For instance, your kitchen. An extension phone here will save you countless steps every day. Another possibility is your bedroom. At your bedside, an extension phone will give you privacy and a feeling of security at night. Or if there's a playroom, or a place where the family spends a lot of time, an extension lets anyone, or everyone, talk on the phone without leaving the room. A handy phone in the garage or workshop will save time and trips the year round. For only pennies a day more than the cost of your present phone, you can have a colorful extension telephone for one of the many places in your home where you work, play, or sleep. Just call your Bell Telephone business office or ask your telephone man.
The greatest luxury that I ever realized in a hotel room in the early 80s, maybe late 70s. I'm at the Century Plaza in Los Angeles. The Century Plaza. It looks exactly what you think it looks like. It is a big, huge, sweeping, half-circle, half-oval structure, about 25 stories high. Gold shimmering in the Los Angeles evening light. And in front of it, World's Fair-type fountains. Huge fountains. Displays, dancing waters, magnificent. You pull up to the Century Plaza Hotel, and you feel that you have arrived. Because you have arrived. The address of the Century Plaza Hotel is on a street called Avenue of the Stars. Avenue of the Stars. And you have arrived at the epicenter of Los Angeles. Later you come to learn that's truer than you thought, because around the Century Plaza Hotel are magnificent, discreet, gray office buildings. And they contain the second biggest industry in Los Angeles, lawyers, entertainment lawyers. In the other parts of the building are CAA, William Morris, talent agencies, and they're surrounded by lawyers. If you're going to see a lawyer in Los Angeles, you're going to go to Century Plaza. That's where they are. And then there's a mall there. And it's a nice outdoor-y kind of L.A. mall, half inside, half outside. It's quite lovely. But the Century Plaza Hotel, when that was built, when do you think it was built? In the 60s? Redefined a luxury, businessy hotel. Redefined everything. And it had I just have to, at least once a show, I have to completely readjust my position. It had everything, but it had something in it that I had never seen before. It was the first hotel where I saw a mini fridge in a room. Now, that was a revelation. Now you could get it at Motel 6. Now you're going to get it at a Super 8. But the first time I saw a mini fridge in a hotel room, that was quite something. But it got better. In the Century Plaza Hotel, when that opened, it was something I had never seen in a hotel before. There was a Trimline extension phone in the bathroom. In the bathroom. If you grew up at a certain time before cell phones, there may be extension phones. There may have been a wall extension phone in the kitchen for mom. Maybe if your dad did a lot of work at home, if your mom did a lot of work at home, maybe there was another extension phone in the den where mom or dad or both worked. And that was it. There was one central phone. There was a phone in the kitchen with a long extension cord, with a long cord. Remember those cords, like 20 feet long? The biggest criminal act, and I personally believe the reason that Judge Green busted up the AT&T phone system was because of the outrageous charges that the phone company put on for extension phones. I want a phone with a 20-foot extension cord. Well, that's a one-time expense for the phone company. The guy comes, puts in the long extension cord, and you get a bill every month for that extension cord. For the 20-foot cord, they charge you 75 cents a month for the cord. Now, if you didn't want an ugly black phone in your kitchen, you wanted a cheery yellow phone, well, they charged you more for the color. If you wanted a green phone, they charged you more for the color. Each extension cost more. And then if you wanted add-ons like a really long cord, they charge you more. All of that was an abuse. That was an abuse of a monopoly. Because they had a monopoly, they could have been cool about a lot of things. But they weren't. And that stoked the public's anger and made it possible for the first alternative to the phone company MCI. MCI was the first company that challenged them in court and said, we want to be able to sell phones and phone service and long distance service to Americans. Why can't we? Why do they have this monopoly? Why is that okay? And ultimately, Judge Green broke up the phone system. And then cell phones, and that changed everything. Everything used to be more expensive relative to the phone. But man, signs of wealth in anybody's home is if they had like more than one extension. If they had one in the bedroom, mom and dad's bedroom. I said to my dad once, I want my own phone before cell phones. I want my own phone. My dad was a brilliant negotiator. He said, you know what? I'll give you your own phone with your own number if you get an A in math. That was by far the safest bet my father could have possibly made. I got to tell you some amazing things about HR people, some amazing HR stories coming up in just seconds. You and I are driving home, long weekend, stuck in the car. Half of them are sleeping. Lucky you, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling, every damn night.
Demopolis, Alabama. Lots of stuff goes on at that wonderful Walmart. Police say 32-year-old Kiara Carter went into the Walmart, found herself a butcher knife and a crowbar, and attacked a woman. Just some woman inside that store. No word on motive. Perhaps this other woman was listening to Coldplay with Miss Carter's man. I don't know. I don't know what the question is. I don't know the answer. Cops ran because there was an active shooter situation. That's what they believed after the 911 calls. No, it was just crazed out lady with a crowbar
laying down some thuds and stabbing some people. Officials say Kira Carter chased down that woman through the store, cutting a man across the abdomen as well with a butcher knife, where he tried to take the crowbar from her. You see, being a good Samaritan seems like the right thing. A good Samaritan in this case would probably just have shot Miss Carter, but who am I? Miss Carter escaped from that Walmart and was caught by troopers on the highway. Kira Carter charged with first and second degree assault and the case still under investigation, and more charges are possible, like, oh, let's say attempted murder. Let's say slashing some poor feller right across his abdomen. Some tummy slashing. I hate that when that happens. Walmart is such a busy store that all you have to do is hang out and you'll begin to see somebody committing a crime. And I like that. But when crimes are being committed, like with a crowbar and a butcher knife, stay out of the way. Give the perpetrator all the room that she needs. And then record it on your cell phone. Live stream it on social media would be even better. For the people of Walmart, this is VLO Rule. Sterling every damn night.
The master of the radio, he's even got his own show. There's nothing that he doesn't know. It's Sterling every damn night. His studio is the laundry room. He isn't into gloom and doom. You cannot call him on Zoom. It's Sterling every damn night. Observant, conversant, very fervent. So put on your radio and warm up some hot cocoa, 'cause things are about to get loco on Sterling every damn night.
It's 23 past the hour, 23 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. There you and I are, stuck driving. People in the back seat, half asleep, mostly asleep. The person next to you, mostly drunk. That's what our Sunday nights have come to. When you got together with these people, was that your plan? Was it your plan to do 4 or 5 hours of driving every Sunday night, every Friday afternoon? Was that your plan? But here you are, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Walter Sterling every damn Sunday. It's exciting. You can hear me every damn night. Yes, if that's a goal, it's available. Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, the Odyssey app, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time every damn night. You can hear quality programming like this every damn night. I have an email, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And there's Rebecca Canner, Beryl Kravitz, Keith Mortensen in Florida, near Sebring, Florida. He knew about Dr. Doolittle's. Dr. Doolittle's is this bizarro world. Bizarro world. LSD created rest stop on the side of a highway in Dubois, Pennsylvania. It consists of paper mache dinosaurs, life size, abandoned dining cars strewn at random over the property, each of them representing a different restaurant. An ice cream stand opened in February. I found the place in February. It is in the middle of nowhere. No signs, nothing. You just got to know that Dr. Doodle is there, and a petting zoo. I didn't see the petting zoo in February, and miniature golf. I'm telling you, this is as random as it gets. No reason for it. No signs. Somebody said, you know, we've got 10 acres here by the side of this rural road. Why don't we get some papier-mâché dinosaurs? But the great thing about America is it is filled with places like this. Places you just got to know where they are. Do you have one of those places? 18-wheeler. Hey, you with the 18-wheeler. Driving the kids home in your 4-wheeler. I want to know about these secret places. The secret places. Here's my number. It's 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. It's live. This is a live radio show. There's nothing else like it. HR. HR people, in my experience, are all on some level corruptible. Here are my three favorite HR stories. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them right now, but I'll get to them this hour, I promise. Now, remember, these are the paragons of virtue in a company. These are the people in charge of the rules. These are the ones who force you to watch diversity movies. They're the ones who force you to watch inappropriate behavior movies. Remember, man, don't tell Susie she looks great today. She could be offended. Well, Susie wants to be the chairman of the board, and she's going to be offended when I say, hey, you look great today. She won't know I'm just a dick brain and say things like that, not realizing that it could offend her. That's why we show these films. This will make you aware that anything you could say to any woman in the workplace could offend her, could have you brought up on charges, fined, and lose your job. Well, even if I say this, anything, young man, that you could say to a woman will get you brought up on charges, written up, and you could lose your job. Well, can I get another job? No, we'll see to it that you never get another job. We're HR. We're HR. We're in charge of parking passes, building passes, free lunches, and getting you fired. That's what HR does. I was at a big media company, and there was this larger-than-life HR man. And he lived about 75 miles from the corporate headquarters, and he was at a level where he could have a car and driver. He had a car and driver, and the car and driver drove him home every night, 75 miles home. 75 miles home, and then the poor guy had to drive 75 miles back to his home. And one Friday night, this jerk, or as my mother would call him, a great big drip. That's exactly how my mother would have described him. He was a great big drip. Well, this great big drip said to his driver, I'm not going home tonight. At which point the driver should have thought, great, I'm going to get home early on a Friday night. That isn't what happened. The great big drip said to the driver, would you stop by the corporate dining room? I have put aside some cases of wine. And would you please take those cases of wine, put them in the car, and drive them to my home? I'm entertaining this weekend. I'm doing some company entertaining. I'm sure he made up some lie like that. But he, in effect, stole three cases of wine. He had this employee on a Friday night drive home 75 miles. And then the poor guy had to come home 75 miles on a Friday night where he could have been gracious and given the guy the night off because he wasn't going to go home. Lord knows which hotel room he was going to. Fortunately, the man, the driver, was beloved in the company. He told this story very quickly to as many people as he could. And I believe by Monday or Tuesday, the head of HR for this big company was fired. But there's that paragon of virtue. Now imagine if somebody who worked at the company had this problem, had taken this action, and it had been brought to the head of HR. It had been brought to the head of HR to judge, to determine. You would have said, oh, that's not allowable by corporate law. He must be fired immediately. But just think of the arrogance that it took to borrow two or three cases of wine from the executive dining room, have this poor employee put it in the limo, and have that limo drive 75 miles on a Friday night to this guy's home. And then that poor driver had to drive home to his place 75 miles again on a Friday night. And he could have just given the guy the night off and bid a big guy. That's what a big guy would have done. Not only would a big guy have done that, say, listen, I'm not going home tonight. You should go home early. Here, take this, and gave him some restaurant script, credit card. Hey, use this card. Enjoy your evening. Take your wife out. He could have done that. That would have been the right thing to do. I am happy to say that that guy was, in fact, fired. But I got two more stories like that coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your time to serve.
PSAs. Have we run enough? Every charitable organization must be served. And look at you. You're sweating like crazy. You smell terrible.
This man just showered with a new kind of soap. New Lifebuoy Mint Refresher. A soap so loaded with mint, so tangy, so frosty, it drives wives wicked. Every bar of new Lifebuoy Mint Refresher contains the essence of 125 mint leaves. The soap has never smelled this good before, and neither have you. New Lifebuoy Mint Refresher drives wives wicked.
Wow. I've never thought of the phrase driving my wife wicked. Must have been a very big thing in the 50s, but now a very big thing is there's this new soap, a new soap that contains bath water from Sydney Sweeney's bath. Really? Bath water from, they took a dry, they, she took a bath. It's legit. A real soap company took a drop of her water and put it into every bar of soap. And Sydney, aren't you uncomfortable? Like every scene you're in every movie, every TV show, you're nude. Aren't you uncomfortable?
Is it hard to act while I'm not wearing clothes?
No.
You don't find you get like nervous?
No. I think that I have gained so much confidence and self-awareness through Cassie. I think that the female body is a very powerful thing.
As do I.
I'm telling my character's story. And so I owe it to them to tell it well and do what needs to be done.
Yes, do what needs to be done, Sydney Sweeney. You and I are driving back from the long weekend, forced against our will to leave the TV room. Our goal in life is to sit in the TV room, take the temperature down to 50, 5-0, watch the History Channel, Pawn Stars, Storage Wars, and Nazi UFOs. Because, you know, the Nazis did have a secret, the Nazi bell, which enabled Nazis to travel through time. And the Nazi bell has disappeared. It disappeared before the end of World War II. Therefore, a Nazi probably escaped and right now is traveling through time. Could show up at any moment. Now, listen, here's a particularly stupid thing. You know what a yonder bag is? Y-O-N-D-R, a wander bag. These are lockable pouches designed for students to place their cell phones in temporarily during the school day. Now, Syracuse, New York, North Syracuse schools are wasting $100,000 on yonder bags. The state will reimburse the school district because they have so much money. A new law goes into effect in New York State this fall for all districts. Policy bans cell phones and other smart devices bell to bell in public schools, charter schools, and BOCES. Those are occupational schools. The state budget called for $13 million for districts to use toward pouches or other storage devices. North Syracuse policy, scheduled to formally be adopted in August, prohibits students from using any personal internet-enabled devices during the school day at all, including at lunch. Study halls, hallways, Chromebooks issued by the school are allowed. This is a jackass policy. This is the stupidest idea since they banned television sets in classrooms. That was a big issue when TV became accessible in schools with a big central antennas. Many school districts would not allow a TV set to be put in classrooms. Many. Well, that was a problem when there were space launches and other historic events that kids should have been able to watch on TV in the classroom. Purely educational, perfectly educational. Well, this is just as stupid. Let me finish telling you my stupid HR stories real quick, and then we'll talk about this, because I do not believe there should be any bans on cell phones in school unless you're also going to require the teachers and the principals and the administrators in the school to turn in their cell phones as well. They should have to turn them in as well. Oh, no, we can't do that. Well, you don't have the, you shouldn't be able to take away a kid's $1,000 phone that their parents gave them. For many reasons, anywhere from the fact they're brats, or they need it for safety, or in some cases, they're kids with learning challenges, and they need those phones to feel safe Oh, what? We didn't think of that. No, you haven't thought of anything. You idiots, you haven't thought of anything. There should be no such law about taking away a kid's cell phone. And how many of those are going to magically disappear? Oh, gee, did you lose your receipt? Oh, well. Stupid. Other things HR people have done. HR people I have known. There was the HR executive at, again, another large company that you've heard of. A paragon of virtue. A person in charge of your morality and mine at a big company. The Sarbanes-Oxley chorus. He was fired. He was fired because he used intercompany mail, those inner office envelopes, to ship things from one location to another, one department to another. He used it to ship from New York to L.A. or L.A. to New York cocaine. The head of HR used it to ship cocaine New York to L.A. or, you know, he didn't want to spend the money on FedEx. He used inter-office mail to ship cocaine. Genius. Brilliant guy. The last one was elaborate. This was elaborate. Took them a while to catch this guy. Again, the head of HR of a company you've heard of. What this clown did, he had a fetish, some sort of fetish. He would call women in the community and say that he was their husband's psychiatrist. Hello, Mrs. Mahoney. I am your husband's psychiatrist.
Yes?
I need to be able to help your husband.
I didn't know he was seeing a psychiatrist.
Well, I'm not supposed to reveal that to anybody, but this is a very special situation. Are you willing to help your husband?
Yes, I will do anything to help my husband.
All right, listen to me carefully. This is the problem. Your husband is having very unusual sexual problems. And in order to solve his sexual problem and have a good relationship with you in the bedroom, he needs to know what your sexual fantasies are.
What? Why doesn't he just ask me? What are you again?
I am his psychiatrist.
What?
I am his psychiatrist. I am calling you to find out what your sexual fantasies are, so he can fulfill your needs.
What?
Please tell them to me as a doctor. And he'd get these women to tell him their sexual fantasies on the pretense that he was going to share them with their husbands, who were too embarrassed to ask them directly. And what was he doing? He was getting off on these women's sexual fantasies. He did it more than once. He was the head of HR. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, he was caught. Because, you know, they're all horrible.
I want to be the first company that has no HR. They produce nothing. They monitor our words. They tell us what we can and cannot say. They inhibit creativity. If it's just recruiting, fine, do that. But do not get in my business and tell us how we have to talk about things, what we can say, what words are acceptable and what words are not. It's terrible for business.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's about 12:45 on the East Coast. My God, it's a giant live radio show. What'd he say? Live. It's live. I'm live on KMOX, WGAN, KGGF, KFBK in Sacramento. All of them are questioning the decision right now, right this minute. The control board operator, KMOX, she's calling Steve Moore right now. So, Steve, I'm a little concerned. Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about how the police interact with assisted living facilities, otherwise known as nursing homes. After I retired from the NYPD, I moved down to the Sunshine State, got bored and became a cop down here. And what I realized is with the amount of old people, there's tons of assisted living facilities. And we were constantly getting called out because there were reports of elder abuse. So some guy hasn't seen Uncle Leo in a while. He goes to see him. He notices there's a bruise on his arm, thinks Uncle Leo might be getting abused, calls the police. We come in, we open a case, we investigate. More often than not, it was health-related or Uncle Leo fell down that they were getting harmed by their handlers. But that's not to say it doesn't happen. And Florida is very proactive in that. There's a lot of laws on the books down here to protect anyone over the age of 65. Now, I can't say the same for Wisconsin, as I came across an article the other day about a Wisconsin nurse who amputated a patient's frostbitten foot without authorization and planned to use it as a ghoulish display in her family's taxidermy shop. Now, she was given a sweetheart plea deal in which she'll serve no jail time in prison and just pay $443 in court costs. What? Mary K. Brown, 40 years old, pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of negligently abusing a 62-year-old patient at the Spring Valley Senior Living and Healthcare Campus in 2022 for the rogue medical procedure. Unfortunately, the patient died days later, but according to the article, no definitive link was made between his death and the amputation, according to the criminal complaint. Are you kidding me? No definitive link? You got a 62-year-old man who's living in a nursing home who's not in the greatest of health, a nurse, not a doctor, takes it upon herself to say, you know what, I don't like the looks of that foot. It's got to come off. Of course the guy was traumatized and probably had something to do with his death, but this whole story has more questions and answers. Why this woman was given a sweetheart deal defies logic, unless she's cooperating, and who knows what's going on at that nursing home. This story reminded me of the movie Misery, where a bedridden James Caan is laid up in a bed and his nurse Kathy Bates is holding him captive. Well, the nurse figures out that James Caan's starting to feel better and starting to move around inside the house. So she decides to tie him up, put a 2x4 between his legs, and with a sledgehammer, wax each ankle to cripple him in a procedure known as hobbling. Unfortunately, we're all going to get old. So take care of yourself now so you don't wind up in a nursing home. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new NYPD Through the Looking Glass podcast, available on YouTube.
Lesbians in Space.
If you're the type of person that looks around at things that need to be fixed and you say, see, this is why we need men around, you have officially stamped a sign on your head that says, I don't know any lesbians.
On the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it, the Odyssey app, from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You get to hear me. It's not just on Sundays, and it's 3 hours on Sundays, Paul Vandenberg. 3 hours, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. It's important to hear the whole thing because the best stuff comes at a quarter to one in the morning. By far the best stuff. What is this? Oh, yeah, this is true, too.
What's your advice for a happy marriage?
Don't argue with your husband. Men are always right.
Yes, and this is where guys screw up all the time. They have the wrong idea about weddings. They think about their wedding about a week before it happens.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every day, because I'm just so excited, and I just can't wait to get married.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Like, never. I'll care when it comes, but I don't have a girlfriend right now, so I choose to think about other more important things.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every day, 24/7, because I just have it all planned out. I mean, why not think about it?
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Do you still not dream about your wedding day?
No. Also, none of the guys here do either.
They don't?
No, they don't think about it.
So they just don't believe in love?
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Low-key every day. I feel like the vibe I want is like a long sleeve, like lace dress, probably outdoors, maybe in the fall. Not too cold.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every time I open Pinterest. Lots of flowers, lots of pastels. Outside. Definitely want to get married outside.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Oh, every day. I have a Pinterest board.
What's on it?
Rings, dresses, venues, bridesmaids' dresses.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
I actually never think about it. My teacher just brought this up the other day.
Biggest mistake a man can make is say to their fiance, I have some ideas for our wedding. Huge mistake. You, young man, have no ideas for your wedding at all. Your idea for your wedding is, yes, I think that's a good idea, hun. Great idea, dear. How can I help you get it done, honey? That's a man's role in a wedding. That's his only role in a wedding. You edit that. You are tampering with something she has thought about since she was 8. How is that going to go for you? In the long run, how is that going to go? I don't think it's going to go very well. I don't think it's going to go very well. Do you? You don't get to edit the wedding. Walter Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
And remember, the number one cause of death, according to local TV news, in the summer, bad mayonnaise.
Telling every night, lost in space. Mission control, inside.
What's your advice for a happy marriage?
Don't argue with your husband. Men are always right.
Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio, spacedoutradio.com. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Sunday. It's very exciting to have a pure Canadian on Sterling Every Damn Sunday. A pure Canadian. Where in Canada are you again? Because as an American, it's all one place to us.
I am in the westernmost province, British Columbia, about, 3,500 miles from you, Walter. And I am in a beautiful area called the Cariboo Region, which sits right in between on top of the mountains of the Cascade Mountains and the Rockies. So I'm right in between, and it is gorgeous here.
Well, I'm sure it is. Have you lived there all your life, Dave Scott?
I've been here a decade.
And where were you before that?
I was in a suburb just outside of Vancouver, where I was born and raised, and decided the city life was just a little bit too much for me, and moved up north.
Well, the ambient light of a city makes it difficult to see UFOs. You're an expert on CFOs. You're an expert on UFOs, Bigfoot, UAPs. All things related to the extraterrestrial, the paranormal, Bigfoot, portals. Have you ever seen a portal, a time portal? Have you seen one, Dave Scott?
I've never seen one. I want to. Now, hold on a second here. That might be a little bit of a misnomer. Because one time I saw a black triangle with two of my friends over top of my house. And we watched this fly silently. And it was like a door opened up in the sky, and this thing started disappearing from the nose right to the back. Did it fly into a portal? I have no idea.
It made no noise, I assume.
No noise whatsoever.
I'm of the humble opinion that I think of Earth like a beach. And you and I could build the biggest sandcastle imaginable on a beach today. And when we got back to that beach the next morning, there would be no sign of that sandcastle. The waves would have washed that away. There would be no clue that there had been a sandcastle there. And I believe, you know, we're here for 10,000 years. If there's a nuclear blast, wipes us out in 25,000 years, there will be no clue that we were here. There will be no ground clue. All there will be is evidence in the uranium. All there will be is atomic evidence. But, gee, what made this? Was it natural? Was it not? I believe there have been multiple civilizations, one of which is playing with your door right now, that there are multiple civilizations that have lived here. We're here how many billions of years? It is arrogance, supreme arrogance, for us to think that we're the first humanoids, the only humanoids. It's nonsense. I believe there have been many other civilizations, many other Earths, and we're just the latest.
Well, and that could very well be. I mean, if you look at some of the artifacts, the strange artifacts that have been found over time, including finding, you know, in some rocks that were supposed to be like 4,000 or 5,000 years old, finding a mini, what looks like a Swiss watch. I mean, was that time travel? Was there another Switzerland at one time where they were good at making watches? No idea. But there is plenty of situations like this.
I believe that that there are portals. They're time portals. They're made by previous generations, previous lives and civilizations that were on Earth. They figured out how to travel through time or take advantage of magnetic anomalies and visit different time periods. But consider this. Those time portals that show up and are in part of our mythology today, or the story you just told about a triangle, we've only been here 10,000 years. The Earth has been here billions of years. We may not be that interesting a civilization to visit. They may have just been a bathroom stop here, and that they continue to the places and times that were really interesting.
Well, and, you know, you look at all the pyramids. That is a great turnaround in this, because we still don't know how the pyramids were built. We can assume that it was built by slave labor. We can assume on another end that aliens helped build the pyramids. Or what if they had the technology back then in order to do it? What if they had cranes? What if they had helicopters? What if they had computers in order to do it? Because to eyeball a lot of those bricks that were built in there to be so absolutely perfect, it doesn't make sense on just an ancient script.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. You can hear every show he's ever done on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. And I don't believe that the ancient Egyptians had anything to do with those pyramids. I believe that they were built long before they showed up. When they did show up, they honey badgered it. They occupied them, used them to whatever degree they could. And I don't think they built them at all. If they did build them, they didn't lug those blocks anywhere. One of my favorite scientists says, no, these were poured. This was a concrete type material that was poured in place into molds and positioned wherever they wanted. And that makes a lot more sense. The ancient Egyptians could have poured a concrete mixture into a mold and let them set there in that sun. Yeah, they could have done that. They didn't have to lug it 100 miles, 4 tons of rock. But anyway, that's not why you called, Dave Scott. Dave, what do you have to update tonight?
Well, I'm going to take you back in history tonight, Walter, because I will guarantee you, and I don't say this to age you, so please don't take it insultively. What were you doing 56 years ago today? And I'm going to predict what you were doing.
I was in the cradle.
I bet that somebody had you near a television, like many Americans near a television and people around the world. Why? Because today is the 56th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing.
Isn't that amazing? And we haven't gone back. I mean, we went back 3 or 4 times and then we never went back again.
Well, the big question is, why haven't we gone back? Now, I know you have interviewed people about this who say that it was more political than it was for science. Many people in my realm will say that it was all about alien contact. Now, one of the things that I have been told by somebody who knows Buzz Aldrin is that outside of the NASA buildings, Buzz would talk to all of the engineers and scientists because he's an engineer himself, and he worked for NASA very proudly for a number of years, still holds top secret clearance at his age. I believe he's around 91 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He said to a group of people, including my friend, that they saw something on the moon. And prior to this, he says, the proof is watching Neil Armstrong. So I'm going to bring a little conspiracy theory in here for a second. Excuse me. Because apparently Neil Armstrong was a happy, joking, loving guy, always had a smile on his face. However, when he got back from the moon, and if you looked at the first press conference, he seemed very downtrodden, didn't want to speak in public, almost like he was becoming very introverted. Why did that happen? Well, apparently, according to my source, in this conversation with NASA scientists, Aldrin stated that when they got on the moon, they saw something. They saw what looked to be like a brick, like a building off in the distance. And when they turned to look again, a few minutes later, that building was gone. And it scared them. Now, I have talked to other people who claim, and this is secondhand information, that claim that that Armstrong went on the emergency line saying, they are here, they are on the hill, and they are watching us. I still haven't been able to prove if that is true or not. But with my source talking directly to Aldrin, who has never, ever stated anything publicly about aliens, I think that's why. I think that because of the alien activity on the moon, it scared the NASA astronauts, and that's why we never went back.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio, Spaced Out Radio. Hear him on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. Dave Scott, thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. All right, for our next Florida story, we're going down to the Jacksonville area, and you can take the beautiful template for the story of a message in a bottle, a message that is tucked away from one stranger to another, spanning time, spanning distance, and Florida can just ruin anything. So what we have here is, well, you know what? I'll let the Channel 12 down in the Jacksonville area share the story here. This is the NBC affiliate in Jacksonville.
Hey, Louie. Yes, Sheila and Teban Piles were doing their yearly neighborhood cleanup in South Jacksonville, Florida last February when they came across this old bottle that said, look inside. On the inside, they found a note from a Ron Clark from Texas. So they set out to find him.
We were all hooting and hollering. So check this out, Jim. I got an actual message in a bottle, man. And it was like, holy cow.
And it included a Texas address.
Based on the handwriting, we thought it was a child, and the bottle was aged, we thought, around the 80s. And so when I went on Facebook, because I was like, if it was a child, they probably don't live at that address anymore.
So Sheila put a post in Mevin's community Facebook group with the letter and bottle, hoping the Ron Clark who wrote the letter or someone who knew him would see it.
Looked at the letter and everything else, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is my handwriting, and unfortunately, my handwriting hasn't gotten any better since I was 10 or 11. But, it was no doubt it was me.
Ron Clark, now 39, said he was at his grandparents' home in Florida when he threw the note in a bottle in the St. Johns River, right where the Piles live now.
Did you catch the details there? This is the lamest message in a bottle story possible. So some kid is visiting his grandparents in Florida in the 80s, and he puts a message in a bottle, and he throws it from his grandparents' little spot. 39 years later, another couple finds it literally a few feet down. It didn't go anywhere. It just stayed. Like, the dude threw it, the kid threw it. It probably got stuck within a matter of minutes, and it's been there for 39 years. This is the absolute lamest message in a bottle story possible. And I know, the urge to make a police reference or maybe a sting punchline is almost irresistible.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
Pansexual, queer, non-binary, demisexual. And like, I honestly, I'm here for all of it. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's just like, I'm just a lesbian. Like I'm such just a lesbian that now it makes me feel like I'm straight.
One, two, three.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Every damn Sunday. Midnight Misfits, welcome. Lynn Murray, Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Jimmy Beidler, Oley, Pennsylvania. Amber Folkert, what a great name. Kansas City, Kansas. John Harrison, Audubon, New Jersey. Nick Thomas, Philadelphia. Richard Galarno, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on KDKA. Norma Willard, St. Clair, Minnesota. Michael Alexia. Michael, you know who you are. Michael O. of Potsdam, New York. Yeah, I can say Potsdam. And Marty Miller, who works for the MTA. He's a conductor for the Long Island Railroad. He listens to Sterling every damn Sunday. He lives in East Meadow, New York. You're our buddy. Jonathan and Suzanne Thompson, Rochester, Minnesota. We cover the country, ladies and gentlemen. We cover the country because there's no accounting for taste. There's no accounting for taste. What are you talking about? Who are you? What? I'd love to say hi to you. Just drop me a note. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. There you are at KFBK in Sacramento. Number one radio station in Sacramento. No accounting for taste. I have a website, WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and there you can download your Midnight Misfit membership card. It's free, print it out like Keith Martinson has done. I will give you secret messages. Rebecca Canner knows how to do this. Beryl Kravitz knows how to do this. Dee Wells knows how to do it. You and I love to be together because we don't fit in. I have flat feet. An accessory navicular. I'm left-handed. In retrospect, it's kind of shocking that I'm able to work at all. I have every known handicap that is short of a wheelchair. Oh, there's my buddy Michael. There's Michael the student. Michael, your birthday's this week. Happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday, Michael, who uses the code name Crew Cut on his email. But the great thing about Michael is Michael has a birthday this week, and he was born with cerebral palsy. And he told me that. It's not a secret. He was born with cerebral palsy. And he was born without many of the basic gifts from the universe that you and I were given. He's overcome all of them. He's going to college. He's doing well in college, and he sends all of his friends, and I'm blessed that I'm one of his friends, updates on how he's doing in college. He's not 30, 20, 40. He's a little older than that, and it's his birthday this week. Michael, happy birthday to you, because as long as you're going to college, The rest of us have no excuse. We have no excuse. I should be in college. I should be getting my PhD right now based on you, Michael, and the courage that you have shown to go back to school, proudly excel, taking insanely hard courses, Michael. I don't know what the heck you're thinking, but happy birthday to you, my friend. Happy birthday. And what else do I have to tell you? Yes, I've got a 22-year-old daughter. I have a 20-year-old daughter in Brooklyn College. She's at Brooklyn College. It's funny how they use the idiom, funny how they use the conjunctive. They don't say she's in Brooklyn College. She say she's at Brooklyn College. She's in Princeton. She's at Brooklyn College every damn Sunday.
All news, more news, day and night around the clock. It's all news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late-night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Now? Okay.
Why is it that more intelligent people don't actually like hanging out with other people all the time and have to learn how to say no continuously? And I think it's a couple different things. As you get to the crazy end of the curve on intelligence, there's also typically some aspect of being on the spectrum, which usually means like singular focus, which I think makes a lot of sense. I also think it's because the best performers have to narrow down their aperture as opposed to widen it to have unfair levels of success. So if you think about it this way, how have the best people in any industry achieved something incredible? Is it by doing what is average, normal, or shallow? Absolutely not. They go deep into one segment. They spend 80 hours working, 90 hours working instead of 40 hours working. And typically when you do those things and you narrow your aperture, the whole world doesn't quite understand. And so it actually made sense to me.
They don't understand. I've spent my alleged career doing new things, trying new things, because to me, the greatest horror was when the grandkids looked at me one day and say, so tell me about your work in radio, Grandpa. Well, you know, I did a very good job of copying a format that I heard at B93 in Denver. I was able to copy everything they did, put it on the air in Pittsburgh, and it was a great success. That is the last thing I want to be able to say. I want to be able to say I tried new things. Here's this incredible palette, this unbelievable canvas called radio. And I could paint and create anything that I wanted. Anytime I got involved with a radio station or radio company, I was usually in a position where I could paint whatever I wanted. And I wanted to paint pictures that no one else had ever painted before. I wanted to create soundscapes no one else had ever created before and take the best in the business, the most interesting, cutting edge, different people who did not know how to fit in and put together a great puzzle where none of the pieces fit quite right. But the whole kind of made sense. Nobody understands why this show is a success except you. You're having a good time tonight? You enjoying this? A little different than the well, that's the point. It's different. It doesn't fit in. Because you deserve a fresh experience when you listen to the radio. I'm not saying this is the best experience, but it's different. And that alone is worth 3 points from the foul line. 3 points. Because it's more fun to listen. What's he doing? It's something different. It's weird. It's kind of weird. I'll listen to the next weird thing. That's what you and I do. How am I doing? Walter M. Sterling at Gmail.
Sterling every night. Smutty books, lusty books, get cozy with the Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies. Renee approached her from one side and tapped the top of her monitor. If you're done with the report, I don't mind if you take off a little early today. Geneva jerked her head up, alarmed her anticipation at the end of the workday had been so obvious to her superior. Oh, no, I'm fine. I mean, yes, I'm finished with the report, but I can always find something else to keep me busy. Amusement lit up Renee's dark brown eyes. This isn't a military vessel, Geneva. We can be a little flexible around here. I appreciate it, but... Plus, I know you've got the boyfriend waiting for you at home, and his leave is ending soon. She dismissed her with a flick of her wrist. I know you'll be the first one here tomorrow morning, so go enjoy the rest of the day with my blessings. Her eyes widened, and a flush of heat crept up her neck to her cheeks at the mention of Ash. Are you sure? Go! She headed toward the office's kitchen area, signaling the conversation was over. She couldn't prevent a broad smile from spreading across her face. Thanks, Renee, she called. I'll see you tomorrow. Geneva re-entered the elevator to ride up to the skyscraper's parking garage. Her compact gray hover car, the first one she'd ever owned herself, was parked in her assigned space, and she opened the driver's side door. As she slid in behind the controls, reminders of her parents' protests over no longer using the services of a driver flashed through her mind. Rolling her eyes, she pushed the memory aside and backed out of the space. The double doors opened when she approached, and she zoomed out into the airspace high above the city streets. She navigated the narrow lanes between the lofty buildings, merging alongside other hover cars in the capital's practiced traffic routines. The trip between her office and her apartment building usually didn't take long, barring any accidents or detours, and she pulled into a similar parking structure above her home before the two suns dipped below the horizon. When she opened the door to her apartment, the sound of her TV greeted her. Ash sat on her sofa, eating a snack and wearing nothing but a pair of boxer shorts as he watched the screen. Hey, you're home early, he said without looking toward the door. Hey yourself. She crossed the room to lean over the arm of the sofa and planted a kiss on the side of his head. He held out the bag to her as she approached. Want some pretzels? Sure, why not? She stuck her hand inside and pulled out a fistful. As she popped the first pretzel into her mouth, she followed his gaze toward the TV. Is this one of those baking competitions? He nodded, then swallowed. They're more dramatic than soap operas. But you don't bake. Doesn't matter. These shows are addictive. He gestured toward the screen with the bag of pretzels. See for yourself. I'll pass, but thanks. She shrugged out of her jacket and slung it over a nearby chair. Have you really been watching this all day? Ash finally looked away from the screen and glanced toward her. I did go visit Marcus and Adele around lunchtime. But I admit, once I got back and showered, I haven't moved from this position much. Ah, how nice. One of his eyebrows arched as he ate another pretzel. Do you want all the explicit details this time, or will your imagination suffice? I'd rather focus on the two of us right now, especially since you're leaving tomorrow, so I'm glad I have you all to myself tonight. Standing beside the TV, Geneva crossed her arms and pretended to be annoyed. If I can manage to tear you away from your cakes and cookies, that is. This is almost over. Chuckling, he sealed the bag and set it on the cushion beside him. I kind of want to see who bakes the best berry tart, as I'm rather emotionally invested in the outcome at this point. But once it's done, I promise you will have my undivided attention for the rest of the night. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts and complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon, and don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's keep going. I'm teasing you. Her hands dropped to her sides, and she matched his smile. You were granted a short leave from the ship to relax for a few days, after all. I'm happy to see you doing so. Ash stretched his arms above him and twisted from side to side before folding his hands behind his head to emphasize her statement. A few more minutes, then I'm all yours. She watched his muscles ripple and flex as he moved around on the sofa, his minimal clothing granting her an unobstructed view. An idea sprang into her mind. I don't know. You seem so comfortable, I almost hate to disturb you. Tossing her hair back over her shoulder, she strode toward him. When he leaned to one side to see the screen around her, a smirk playing upon his lips, she knelt between his legs. I assure you, I can find other ways to entertain myself. Beneath the thin material of his boxers, he twitched when she ran her hands up his thighs. You just got home from work, though. So? Geneva's fingers danced up to his elastic waistband, and she traced its edge, skimming along his skin. By this time tomorrow, you'll be gone. I don't want to waste a moment. He swallowed back a groan when she folded back the band. Lifting his hips, he allowed her to slide his underwear down and off his legs. After tossing the unwanted garment aside, she turned her attention back to him. She covered him with feathery kisses, her lips floating up and down with the lightest of touches. His body tensed when her tongue flicked out. You're making it very difficult to concentrate on the berry tarts. Desire strained his voice. She nuzzled him with her cheek before resuming her teasing. Does this mean you want me to stop? Of course not. Geneva sat back on her heels, making sure not to obscure his view of the TV. Biting her lower lip, she unbuttoned her shirt with deliberation, taking her time with each closure. Oh, unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies, which is available at Amazon. For the uncensored excerpts plus complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon. And don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Clubs. Coming up with exciting things is an important part of that industry. And let's just talk about probably the greatest strip club concept, granny grinders. Yep, featuring grandmas doing their dancing. They do a little more jiggling than some of the other gals. They have great specials too. Bingo and Boobs on Tuesdays, Matlock and Milkshakes on Fridays, and the increasingly popular No Teeth, No Problem Wednesdays. You can find this wonderful club inside the great state of Oregon, Springfield, Oregon, just to state it clearly. At least this is not pregnant women dancing, which there's a club for that too. If you have an Oedipus complex, or perhaps you're a college student who for whatever reason gets all aroused over the idea of watching a grandma dance seductively, this is your place. Club owner Buck Jackson, he's only 56. And every dancer, by the way, at Granny Grinders has to be over 65. He says this is the natural evolution of adult entertainment. They promise at Granny Grinders premium entertainment for patrons who like their lap dances with a side of Metamucil. If you can yell bingo while dancing, lady, you got a gig at Granny Grinders. These people found a need and filled it. Isn't that what running a business is all about? From the champagne room with a side of Geritol, this is Velo Hool, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling every damn night.
Now, join lesbians in space.
You want to try that?
Why not?
Great. Anything else?
How about dinner?
We don't start serving until 5 p.m.
With you.
Oh, I'm kind of... My last relationship ended kind of messy, so I'm not really in the market for...
You can say no now.
Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now, the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production. I pray you-